listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across Lakey. Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show. Yeah.
It's Danny Lakey.
What a wonderful world it would be if we knew that once we're on our deathbed and about to pass the other realm, there's someone there from Champion Data who has all your life stats on hand. How frequently you pissed, how many people had a crush on you, your orgasm give to receive ratio. That'd be a soothing way to go, wouldn't it? Well, we can only imagine at this stage. We don't have any confirmation that that is what happens when you pass to the next realm, but we did have a chinwag about that. Jana Shocking Hocking was in for Dating Thursdays, talking about things, oh, dating no-nos. We continue to track down the McCain Corn Cobbett's kids. We are closer. Edging ever closer, slowly but surely. And we also finished up the Meat House, and that is what's about to be listened to right now.
Triple M, the House of M's. M standing for meat. Mini meat houses built by Danny Lakey with the help of you. The other night, we drew up plans for the roof.
To hold it up, those hard salami sticks glued together with lard.
You can either use toothpicks or barbecue skewers.
You carve it into a nice little flat and then you glue it all together in a nice thick gravy.
We will be hoping to build this meat house on the show.
It's like something out of a serial killer's mind. Can we build a house out of meat?
Well, look, construction's well underway, and there's a lot of people around the work site at the moment. Just over there, thanks, boys. Just over there, thank you. Yeah, just getting the final bits of timber in place, aka the breadsticks, and making a very sturdy sidewall. Look, on Tuesday night... It is looking good. And on Tuesday night, we put out that there was a trending hashtag getting around on Instagram, hashtag charcuterie chalet. My favourite thing is to graze on meat platters. I lack a lot of building knowledge and experience, and people were more than happy to call up and give their 2 cents worth on how to make a structurally sound meat shell for the meat house. I mean, you just can't go straight to the exterior decorations. You need solid scaffolding in place, a very solid base, and it was what I was doing all night last night whilst watching the State of Origin, getting my hands greasy with Twiggy sticks. We do have the base, roof, and external guts of the house. You can check it out on the Danny Lakey Show Instagram. Basically consisting of grain crackers, breadsticks, and a lot of Twiggy sticks right now. Probably, I'm going to say it weighs at least 3 kilos at the moment, which
is
good.
I'm going to say there's also at least 40 Twiggy sticks in there.
Yeah.
Like a solid amount of twig sticks.
A lot of twiggy sticks. And that's the thing. This is what people don't understand about the construction industry. Like, you need a lot of, like, reassurance and support from, like the bands.
You've never been on a construction site in your life.
I may as well now. Give me my blue card.
This is the closest you've come to being a builder.
Give me my blue card because I've learned so much over the last 48 hours. We did hear from a structural engineer making sure that the grids and the awnings and everything. Look, it's looking really good. What, I guess... we're going to have to ask right now, 133353, is what meats need to go on the finishing touches? Think, so far, a square house with a very pointy roof on top. It's probably 1.2 twiggy sticks by 1 twiggy stick. They're the diameters that we're working with. We need a meat for the roof, some sort of platter arrangement for the door, and we need some garden design as well. 133353, if you have any ideas on what we can lay over the roofing, what we can do the door, and what we can do for the front porch, much appreciated. Jenny on 133353, you were one of the people who helped us with the basic bones and structure a couple of nights ago, a firm scaffolder.
Yes.
You have some ideas for the door.
Yes. Well, how about some beef or chicken edible jerky, Danny.
Yeah, I don't
you
know
have
that.
To have a sturdy door.
You do need a sturdy door. Every meat house needs a sturdy door. Now, you were big on the jerky the first time around.
For the roof,
yeah. And unfortunately, we didn't go with your jerky techniques for the roof, but I do like a jerky door or even a piece of edible chicken. Now, what we've also got to realise is that Shooey Louie is on foot down to the supermarket right now. Shooey Louie, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me? I'm on my way down.
Yes. So not only does it need to be easy and accessible for Shuey Louie to get within the next 7 or 8 minutes to bring it live back up to the radio station, we also then need to be building it without Form and Keith getting in the way. Now, I like the idea of the edible chicken. I think, Shuey Louie, add to your shopping list one of those plasticky pieces of chicken that you can buy at the deli so we can slice it into a small rectangle door shape. I think that's going to be better. If not, if all else fails, grab some of the big biltong jerky and we can snap off a piece and make it look really rustic. But thank you very much, Jenny. 13353, Belinda. Oh, you love a good garden. So you've got some ideas for the garden coming through.
Blueberries and raspberries.
Great. It ticks all the boxes. They are tasty. It features on a charcuterie board. And it will look at like a bit of plant life, I think. So what I've actually already got is an avocado dip. So I was thinking of smothering the chopping board that it's on in avocado dip to make it look like some grass. And then maybe we have a small crusket as a pathway leading up to Jenny's edible chicken door. And then we line this path with blueberries and raspberries, one after the other. Is that what you were sort of thinking?
Perfect.
The lines that you were on? Okay, Shuey Louie, you get that. We need a punnet of raspberries and one punnet of blueberries as well.
Yep, got them. They're not cheap.
Okay, where are you on foot, by the way? How much of the way have you made from the radio station to the supermarket so far?
Look, I'm now just passing the bakery section in Coles.
Oh, she's already in.
Yeah, man, I've got the raspberries and the blueberries.
Oh,
I'm
waiting
to find Jenny's jerky.
Yes, off to Jenny's jerky or the edible piece of chicken whilst we go to Brendan in Parramatta. Hello, Brendan.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Love the show. I reckon prosciutto for the roof.
Yeah, nice. And this is what a lot of the charcuterie chalets have on the Instagram so far. The ones with the most likes are really operating with a salami or a prosciutto-based roof. And I think you've hit the money on the head there. And I know you probably don't have a visual on the build yet, Brendan, but the roof, and this is partly my fault, is it is very steep. This is not a gradual roof. This is probably operating on a 70 to 80 degree angle. I've got my Pythagoras all wrong. So
you can lay in a prosciutto, you'll be right.
No, yeah, I think a sticky, nice piece of prosciutto. Now, what I like about the prosciutto, Shuey Louie, if you're still there, could you try and get the prosciutto that's the really long ones? You know, the big long back straps? That
I've got them here.
About
$6.30.
Yeah, we want to drape it over the roof because I think if we try and hang them off both sides, they're going to slide off straight away. We need one that basically you could chuck over, like a full sheet,
of
the cross.
They're almost about 20 centimetres long.
Oh, great. Oh, good stuff, Brendan. Good integrity from you. Now, Scotty.
Tools down.
Okay, tools down. So, Shuey Louie, you're on foot.
Yep.
Scotty Cam has given the orders. Purchase those things. Purchase those things. We've
got
two songs before we build and add the final touches.
Two songs later.
Pandemonium and scenes.
Our house that's completely made of meat. Our house that's completely made of meat. And other luxurious items that can be found on a charcuterie board.
Yeah, hashtag charcuterie chalet challenge is the Instagram hashtag we are planning on getting around tonight. And thank you for all the suggestions coming through on 13353 as Shuey Louie just makes it back from the supermarket.
In here.
The quickest
pressure.
Shop that anyone has ever done. We have had the suggestion of the prosciutto roof from Brendan in Parramatta. Jenny from Glenorchy has requested the beef jerky door. A very interesting choice. Very keen to get some beef jerky on the meat house somewhere. The garden from Belinda had a recommendation of blueberries and raspberries. I have added already when Shuey Louie was away a thick slather of avocado dip along the chopping board, which will act as grass with a couple of grain crackers as the pathway, all set up for you to plant the raspberries and blueberries.
Well done, Lakey. That's very creative.
So what Shuey Louie is doing right now is attacking the roof aspect of the meat house, draping it over the top, careful not to disrupt the scaffolding and the of the roof. There's a couple more. Artillery's come through. Yeah, thanks, lads. Yeah, just down there. Yeah, cheers.
Sorry. Am I in the way here, guys?
Nah, you're all right. Just make sure. Yeah, you got steel caps?
Yeah, I got my boots on and my cap.
Yeah, if you've got a high-vis in the ute as well, if you can just put that on. Foreman Keith, hello. How you going?
I just had to ask the guys to stop.
Nah, about 3 or 4 minutes. All good, boss. All good. Very soon. Scotty Cam.
Tools down!
3 or 4 minutes away still. Just got to lay some of the roof. That's all. Sorry, guys. We'll be soon. So they're a little pissed off at this stage. The roof take a little longer than expected, to be honest. Arguably, The least radio-friendly part of the whole construction.
Can I just say it's looking really good?
How many pieces of prosciutto have you used so far?
So far, I've gone through one side of the roof, it looks like. One packet here. Now I've got to the bottom of the prosciutto. You know where it's a little bit thicker.
Oh, you're getting the back straps.
Yeah, I mean, it's making the other side of the house probably look not as nice as the other.
But what you can see here
is my layering, and the style is very on point.
You are overlapping it nicely. It is a shame that the prosciutto is about 3 centimetres shorter than the graham cracker roofs that we've used.
She's pulled a backstrap out of her ass, guys. I've got it.
As the prosciutto comes on and the roof is beginning to take shape, you can check out all the photos at the Danny Lakey Show socials on Facebook and Instagram. How are we going with the beef jerky door? Is there anything going on?
Look, let's just say the beef jerky is about to commence.
Oh, and she's gone for a teriyaki option. I like that. So oh, very nice. Yes. Oh, it's brilliant.
The door is on.
Oh, well done, Jenny from Glenorchy. It really pops.
Delicious.
The door looks so inviting as we get to the gardening stage.
The final raspberries
and blueberries being put on both sides of the footpath to the charcuterie house.
Made of about 40 twiggy sticks,
20 breadsticks, 20 pieces of prosciutto, 8 graham crackers, a piece of lavash bread, 200 grams of avocado spread, a punnet of raspberries, with the final bits of the blueberries going on the charcuterie chalet. It's one of the great charcuterie chalets.
It's coming along,
it's a full-on meat platter house. Boys, pack up. Yeah, smoko's over. Go home. Go home. Get out. The owners need the keys. I know exactly how they felt on the block when time is there. Are we calling it?
I feel like I'm a master chef.
Three.
Two.
Tools down.
Tools down and we've done it.
We've done it. We've done it.
It's the charcuterie chalet.
Look at that.
Like,
can I hold it up for you?
Hold it up like an absolute trophy that it is. Unbelievable.
Look at that.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
Get that on the gram straight away.
Beautiful.
Get on the Danny Lake. We'll be doing the worldwide hashtag charcuterie chalet. Oh, I want to lick that roof.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, well done. Thanks for the suggestion.
Dating Thursdays.
Dating Thursdays with Janice Shocking Hocking in the studio. It's an aura of shockness about everything now. We've built the meat house. That was all good. And now there's more shocking aromas getting around.
Thanks for letting me back in the building.
Hey, speaking of No Nut November that we talked about last week, I have realised that, yes, there are a small coherent of men who are trying not to nut for the whole of November, but there's also a large coherent of men who have risen above this fascist agenda and have committed to nutting 3 times a day for the whole of November.
Oh my God. How did they do that? Is that you? Is it a one-man band?
I saw it on Reddit, actually, and there's a whole group of dudes who are like, yeah, you got to push yourself, boys, and what are we at now? Day 19. It's like, yeah, I'm getting pretty exhausted. And everyone's getting around. Like, don't fatigue, guys. Don't fatigue. Try and, like, eat a lot of bananas and, like, change your times up during the day. Like, we'll get through this.
Pornhub would be exhausted.
Yes, a lot of traffic, so. Yeah. Thank you for enlightening us on both sides of No Nut November, but there is something called RFS.
It's a serious illness a lot of men suffer from, and to be fair, some girls, me on a bad day.
Okay, RFS is an acronym I've never heard of before. What are the words that this stands for?
You need to get around it. It's called Red Ferrari Syndrome.
Whoa. Is this a boy with a micro penis who takes out a loan from the Commonwealth Bank and buys himself a Ferrari so he can bang chicks?
No, but that's a good one. It's not that, and I'm pretty sure I've dated that. It's actually, let me set the scene for you, right? And you hear a big loud engine and you see a beautiful red Ferrari drive past. What do? You stop and you watch it drive past.
Sure.
No matter what you're doing, you're like, oh my God, that's an amazing bright red Ferrari. Now, when it comes to dating, it's like if you're on a date and you're sitting at a bar and you're having a lovely time telling a really funny story about a time you tripped over a chair and you just see your date's eyes wander off and look at this gorgeous glamazon walking past. He's just red Ferrari, Jew. He's broken eye contact to check out a chick.
He's found someone hot. He's zeroed in. He stopped listening and he's just admiring the goods.
Rude, and it happened to me the other day. Not only did he, like, stop talking and follow this girl who walked straight past me, he then got off his seat and turned towards her to try and make eye contact. He didn't just do the sneaky look like we all do. Like, don't get me wrong. There are 3 guys that I know in that bar exactly where they were sitting, and they were solid tens because I had clocked them. I'd done a little bit of RFS.
You're stealth, though.
I'm stealth. don't get out of your chair and try and make eye contact with her while I'm facing you.
How bizarre, these species with XY chromosomes, aka males. I think that my game's pretty subtle as well. I think I'm pretty stealthy about it. I always recommend a pair of high-vis sunglasses as well so you can get away with it and they can't even see where you're looking. But maybe this guy was doing it maybe to get a rise out of you.
Well, here's the thing, right? Because I think it could go either way. I think a stealth one is you're just checking her out. I think if you make a point of letting the girl in front of you know that you're checking someone else out, you're playing silly buggers.
Yeah.
You're trying to, and it did get
He's
a rise out of me. Well, it worked. It really shook me. I haven't seen red Ferrari syndrome that bad in a long time, especially not on a date.
Now, of course, when a man tries to make a girl jealous, that is one thing, but that's only half the piece of the puzzle. Did it make you want him more? Did you lust for him?
No, it really pissed me off.
No.
I know. Do you know why? Because if he did it stealthy, but a little bit, like if he did the old, oh, she's hot, I would have been like, who's hot? And looked at her and been like, oh, I feel a little bit jealous.
Yeah.
If he goes and tries to make eye contact with her, it's trying too hard and it's like, oh, you're a player. Swipe left, next.
He's outpigged himself. He's gone too far into pig territory.
He did. And then he tried the moves and I had mentally shut down.
Yeah, he's done too much. Girls like a little piglet, but don't go full pig, boys. Or be piggy with the high-vis sunglasses and get away with it. Either or. A couple of weeks ago, we did things not to do in the bedroom. Like, stop doing this in the bedroom. And I had a list cascading down the hallway. And I was like, oh, can we only do three each? Because I've got this massive F off of a list. This week you texted, oh, let's do things that people need to stop doing on dates. I really struggled.
You struggled? Oh my God.
I'm picky in the bedroom, but not at the dining table.
I've got so much more for this one.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that a girl needs to stop doing on dates. They need to stop saying what they are as a person and just start doing what they are. So it's kind of the protesteth too much syndrome, I call it. So I find it's a red flag. A girl's a bit insecure or a bit, they keep going, I am such an extrovert. Like when you know me more, like you're just, I'm such an extrovert. Like I get my energy from people, or like trying to explain what they are. Or like, I'll laugh a lot. Like you'll find out, like if this is to continue, I laugh at everything. I'm just a big laugher. Like I've got a million things going through my head all the time. I'm just like, I'm a bit crazy like that. Like, just show us that. Stop telling me that and I'll make my own decisions. Whether you're an extrovert or not.
Oh, but do you know what? That's kind of cute because she's really trying to impress you. It's like she's got a sales pitch and she's like, if you buy this house, here's all the extras that comes with it.
Yeah, I'll find out about the extras in the spare time. You don't need to tell me there's a spa in the ensuite. I'll go to the ensuite and see the spa myself.
Oh my God, now you've got me freaked out. Do I do that? I don't know. I just think I go in red hot. Yeah. I've been told to tone it down on dates, just like namaste a bit.
You can keep the energy up, but just stop micro-explaining every facet of your personality to people. It just comes across as insecure.
Yeah, I'm going to take that one on board. That's a good tip. My one is an obvious one. Never split the bill. Now, before you go, you're going to say men have to pay all the time. One, yes, I think they do. Not all the time. I think they should pay for the first date.
The first date. I think so too.
Do you really? I thought
I
you were going to fight
day.
With me.
No,
I like it. It's a caveman thing. Yeah. It's not a feminist thing. No. It's a caveman thing.
Sure.
Or if you're uncomfortable with that, I think take it in turns. So if the guy asks the girl out, he pays for the first date and then the girl pays for the second date.
Yeah.
I'm very okay to pay for the second date, but there's nothing more awkward than halfway through, the end of a date going, okay, cool, so divide the five and add the six and, you got an extra cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
Ew,
no,
yuck,
that's horrible.
Yuck, it's so gross.
Even a simple 50-50 split down the middle and you're both at the cashier and then one taps.
God.
And says, I've got cash for my half. If I just pay, can I do the cash for my half? You go one for one.
Just go one for one.
And any dudes out there go, well, I'll go broke if all me first dates I've got to pay for. No. Do the casual first date, pay for that, and then say, you owe me for the second.
Great.
Then you step it up a notch and get a $90 meal for free. Get
around
it.
That's very savvy. Damn it, I need to start doing that. What's your next one?
I really had to scratch my head now. I'm more just thinking about disaster dates because I'm pretty easy on dates. I don't think girls are doing too much wrong, in my opinion. But I remember one girl said to me, everyone's got a tough job, right? Don't think that your job is on some sort of pedestal and it's more stressful than others.
But it is.
She was a manager of a call center. So obviously very, very busy.
Right.
And she was going on like it was the toughest job in the world. And then she looked at me. I've never felt so degraded in my life. She goes, oh, so you wouldn't manage people in your job though, would you? And I go, no, like purposely, because I don't like managing. She's like, yeah, you're so lucky you don't have to manage people.
Oh my God, stop. That kind of relates to your first job. And I feel like she was nagging you a little bit. She's like, I manage people, you don't. I don't want to. Okay, I'll back you on that one.
That's cringy.
The other one's another obvious one. don't talk about your ex. It screams baggage and I don't care. If you talk about your ex a few too many times, like this date I went on the other night, he brought her up a couple of times. And by the end of the date, I knew why they broke up, but I also didn't believe his story. When you talk about your ex, you're putting yourself in a good light.
Yeah, it's very biased. There's always two sides to every breakup. Yeah. Little handy hint though, if you are still hung up with your ex, just keep using different wording. This chick I used to date. Oh, this chick I used to date. And then there's no confirmation that you're talking about the same person each time. This makes it look like a player with plenty of exes.
No, do not do that.
That's what I'm doing.
Just don't talk about exes or flings or anything.
Wait a few dates. Let the baggage off the carousel, boys. You heard it here. Or this one is, I'd say maybe 20% of chicks suffer from this. I'll arrive to the date second. I'll make sure I'm always second to the date because I hate waiting around for it. So sometimes I'll just loiter in my car and wait for the confirmation that they're there.
You're such a radio presenter. And I bet you like the entrance as well. Like you like to walk up and be like, hey.
She gets to see that I'm tall. I do my little strut. But the worst thing is she'll be sitting down. Those who don't get up to hug, they just stay sitting there and you're hugging them like they're some sort of little dwarf preschool kid all over the top of them. Get up to hug.
Yes,
get
that's up. A good one. Don't make it awkward from the very, very start. Mm-hmm. Well, I've just changed my third one based on what you just said.
Nice.
Wear aftershave because the first thing you notice when you do go in for a hug is, oh my God, even if they're like a 3, they can go to a 5 based on if they smell heaven.
I always pinch a little bit of aftershave and douse it on my right ear because I know that I go in with the right cheek and their nose is going to be right in the eating zone.
That is smooth.
Danny Lakey Show with Jenna Shocking Hocking. We'll see you next week, shocking as always, for Dating Thursdays.
Been a pleasure.
It's a brand new track down.
Marge.
We all know the next part off by heart by now.
Specially grown to be super juicy.
It's an infamous part of our childhood.
So what, we're just going to let the cast of it go unrecognised?
Maybe the voiceover guy, John Flouse, couldn't get a hold of him. But last night, a major development.
I received a lead earlier on today on the Facebook. Someone says to me, I know the boy from the advert.
No.
The blonde boy, the big dog. Said he's one of my mates. He still lives and works in Adelaide and he sends me a screenshot of his Facebook profile.
I have analysed said 30-year-old face with the face of the boy.
We got a match.
We got a match.
Oh, my God. We don't need the flash watch.
Andrew Smart on Facebook. That's our man.
Tonight, the story continues.
Or does it?
We're about to find out. Can we track down the cast of the McCain Corn Cobette commercial?
Now, what we are learning is it is one thing to identify the names, the stars, the actors, the voiceovers involved in the McCain Corn Cobette commercial. It is a whole nother beast getting in touch with the names, the stars, the voiceovers of the McCain Corn Cobette commercial. A couple of nights ago, did let you know I had slid into Andrew Smart's DMs, the official face and boy who goes, whilst eating the super juicy corn cobettes. I've also called him 3 times on Facebook Messenger. Whether he knows that we are after him or not is anyone's guess right now. No idea if he's blissfully unaware still, waiting to check his message request folder one day, or if he is well aware and is shunning away from the spotlight. This is a game that I will not quit, Andrew Smart. You can shun the spotlight all you want. I will not rest until you say your piece.
You've also contacted his mum, haven't you?
Oh, yeah,
and
Glenys.
His sister?
Yeah, Glenys Smart hasn't seen the message either, I can only assume, because it has ticked, but it hasn't even gone blue tick through. So, tough to get hold of the Smarts. Like always, 13353, if you know Andrew Smart or Glenys Smart, if you know their address, let us know. I'll go around, I'll knock on his door. Just as I was about to give up hope and let Andrew Smart go on the back burner for a little bit, turns out another lead's come through. This time, the little girl.
No.
The blonde girl.
Someone else has messaged you about her.
We now have our snipers on both of the McCain Corn Cobette's kids. Someone messaged in and said, Rebecca Cross was the girl in the McCain's ad. She lives in Northfield, Adelaide. I'm using my boyfriend's Facebook because I don't have a Facebook, but I hope this helps. Like, again, I play it pretty cool. Yeah, it helps a bit.
Okay, you need to stop trying to act like you're some big FBI agent trying to, like, play good cop, bad cop with them.
That's right. We'll try to have a look on Facebook in the next couple of days. Like, meanwhile, ferociously searching. She said, now this is good. She and her sister Rachel were friends with my sister. We all did a bit of work as kids. Everyone in the neighbourhood knew it was Rebecca who was the McCain Corn Corvettes kid. Now, unfortunately, the thing not in our favour is that Rebecca Cross is a very common name. This isn't like one you can just zero in. So there's about five or six Rebecca Crosses who live in Adelaide. So I've screenshotted all of those, sent them back to this tip-off and said, any of these seem familiar? She says, to be honest, it was 23 years ago. So I won't lie.
Probably not.
I don't recognise any of these people. I've messaged all six to be safe, making sure that I cross the T's and dot the I's.
She was blonde, wasn't she?
She was blonde. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, hair dye now, 23 years later. Doesn't help.
Hair changes. You don't know. I suspect it may be someone by the name of Becky Cross. So she went to TAFE, South Australia. So, look, we'll get to the bottom of this in all due course as well. But what I will say, Rebecca Cross, if you are listening out there, don't play the same games that Andy Smart is playing. Andy Smart, not so smart, not answer the calls. I will call your Facebook Messenger in the next couple of days as well. If anyone knows the whereabouts or the contact number of Rebecca Cross, very much appreciated as well. We have leads on both kids. All we need now is a lead on the granddad, and we're 20% of the way there.
And now, on the Danny Lakey Show, it's time to find out if Lakey agrees. Lakey, do you agree that it's time to find out if you agree?
Yes. Time for me to find out if I agree.
You're going to love this one. So this is a Reddit Reddit feed going around saying it'd be cool to see these stats on your deathbed. So like when you're dying, like how many times you've done these things or your personal stats.
Oh, that'd be cool if you were moments away from passing to the next realm and someone comes along. Statistician, anything you want, anything. Ask me anything about your life. I've got all the details right here. I've crunched the numbers. I'm from Champion Data. I've got them here. Okay, so people have written down their dream
How many bowls of fries did I consume?
Oh, great.
How many times did I blackout drunk?
Tapping away. You had 906 blackout drunk sessions but just pretty much the exact amount of fries as well. Every time you were blackout drunk, moments before, every single time you did order some fries. Classic. Yeah, oh, that'd be good fun. Okay, so people have written one. I'll say if I agree, that would be a good stat.
Mm-hmm. How many swimming pools worth of pee I did?
Oh.
That's quite gross.
I like it though. What I'd only like that if I had everyone else as a base number, like where I sat on the ranking system. Of the amount of pee that I did.
800 pools or whatever. Yeah. Oh, God, imagine mine. You see how many times I run to the bathroom to pee during the show?
Yeah, you've outpissed everyone. You're barely here during the show. We've actually had discussions with the boss to move all your equipment into the bathroom cubicle.
Live from the cubicle.
More work would probably be done. You are pissing a lot. I'd like that one, but I'd like to see where everyone else is. Let's see on the scale. Right, you're in the top 12 percentile of people who are pissing and you filled up 7.5 Olympic-sized swimming pools over the time. You probably wouldn't even fill up one, to be honest, would you, over your life?
Yes.
An Olympic swimming pool?
Your whole entire life. Imagine if you lived till 80.
One for Dr. Carl. I don't think you would.
Okay, let's get them on. 100%. Well, I definitely would.
Write it on the whiteboard.
All right. Okay, how many words did I speak compared to everyone else? Oh, well, clearly both of us would be hundreds.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'd like that in compared to everyone else as well in a percentile. And then I'd like an extra percentile, how much of that's on the radio. Because I save most of my words during the day for the radio. Don't want to burn my gas out too quick. Usually I'm in a state of stress and meditation throughout the day.
It's like a workout.
You 3 hours on.
Pump some tin with your mouth.
Yeah. I don't say many words after this. Once we play the final song, I'll probably say another 4 words for the night.
No, same. You and I say, hooroo, and then don't speak. A bar graph of my spending year on year.
I'd like that. And what do we think? It would probably be a bell curve, I reckon. You probably peak in your 40s, the amount of money you're spending.
Yeah.
And you ease up again. Be nice. It'd be nice if we just got more every year. That's a sign that you've worked hard and you've got a good retirement phase. I mean, there's no more happiness year on year, is there? With what I spend, I probably spend 5 times the amount I spent when I was a 19-year-old. It's just more avocado and halloumi. And apart from that, it's pretty much the same life.
Yeah, minus the booze for you.
Minus the booze.
How many people had a crush on me that I never knew about? Well, that'd be nice to know.
It would be nice to know. But
flattering.
It's guilt edge, though, isn't it? If you underwhelmingly got like 3.
Yeah, true.
Like you,
4 for you your whole entire life, Lakey.
God, I'd hope. What would be a nice number? 50 over the course of my life.
Well,
secret
rate
crushes
yourself, mate.
Over the course of a whole life.
50.
Well, that's pretty
Calm
much
down.
One.
You're getting 10 tops.
What a year.
Oh, you'll like this one. The orgasms given versus the orgasms received during intercourse.
Yeah, that's the best one, isn't it? God, I'd be in the red. Most guys would be in the red
for orgasms.
Yeah, I've definitely received more than I've given.
Yeah, you would have.
Yeah, but it's hard. Like us guys have to give you guys the orgasm. Like, if we don't do it, like, you're not giving us the orgasm.
Well, excuse me.
No.
No, we are.
No, you're contributing to it.
Oh.
Okay, not to sound crass, but even the greatest of stale starfishes have technically given me an orgasm, and I was doing more work than them. I can guarantee
it. Not everyone. These other
star, just too. Right place, right time for a starfish, and she can't know. And then she's getting points for that on her deathbed stats. Unfair.
The starfish getting points on her deathbed.
If starfishes are real, they are getting away, and deathbed stats are real, they are getting away with murder. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Hoi! Danny Lakey. Triple M.